I'm delighted to be here with you again. As you may recall, I am just finishing my first year of seminary at Meadville-Lombard Theological School. I want to thank your board for recently voting that I will be your intern minister in the fall. While I've had many informal ministries working in numerous social justice organizations and helping them build their public presence, doing all sorts of marketing and fundraising, and teaching around issues of race, voting, and LGBTQ issues, in this last year, I have been blessed to offer spiritual and emotional support to people at Planned Parenthood in the Milwaukee Abortion Clinic. And this experience has challenged me. It has grown my heart, and it has made me look at how I approach all other hot, controversial issues in our society. Have you ever held a belief you thought you really understood, only to realize you didn't really get it at all? Anyone? I'm preaching today on how we approach controversial topics, hot issues, as we carry out our Unitarian Universalist values. And I'm going to encourage you to dive deeper and challenge your understanding of your own values and your theology. And I bring this to you because when we can comprehend something personally, when we can look it in the eye, when we can tell a story, we have a choice. We can either dive deep into the humanity ocean, or we can drown. So please, put on your swim fins. This is not a time to snorkel. You're going to need to grab an oxygen mask, because we are going deep this morning into the heart of the matter. We are in a time where things we might have never thought of as controversial are charging partisan divides. The distance between me and my neighbors is further apart than ever. Who expected that a drink of water from your faucet would become so political? Who would imagine that basic health care would be legislated? Who would dream we would spend 10 times more on incarceration than on education in this country? In a time where I, and I suspect you, want more peace than ever, in a time where I am very worried that war seems closer than ever, the hope for real peace and solidarity sometimes seems impossible. This week, I was reading in the news that filmmaker Michael Moore brought a tanker truck of water from Flint, Michigan, and sprayed it all over their state capital in Lansing. I love Michael Moore. Asking their governor to come and drink a glass. The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel is reporting on Foxconn's impact to the water in our news daily. Don't we all drink water, I think to myself? When in mixed company, I used to think that children, their well-being, and their education were relatively neutral topics. Didn't we all want people to become educated? But that is not true either anymore. Growing up, my mother would put tiny footprint lapel pins on her coat from the Right to Life movement. They passed the pins out at church on Sundays. She tried to get me to wear those. But even as a teenager, I was not comfortable telling anyone else what they could do with their body. I understood birth control well enough to know people needed it. I couldn't imagine telling people how many children to have. And as I grew into an adult, I read up on issues I voted about, including abortion, contraception, women's health, and many other topics. Over the years, I supported Planned Parenthood. I read occasional articles on reproductive justice. I thought I was rather informed on the topic. I voted accordingly. If you would have asked me, I would have said that I was pro-choice. but that I wouldn't choose to have an abortion myself. I thought I was a good, informed voter, pat on the head. I thought. In the first year of seminary, we spend an extensive amount of time volunteering at a community site that is intended to give us experience with an audience we have not been exposed to before. This was really tricky for me because I'd worked in so many different nonprofits on so many social justice issues. I had to work really hard to find an audience that was very new to me. Ironically, my efforts to first work at a inner city midwifery clinic with new moms and babies fell through, and I ended up at Planned Parenthood, providing emotional and spiritual support. Planned Parenthood considered having an intern who was earning their Master's of Divinity an experiment. They told me this a couple weeks ago. They knew people brought their spiritual needs to the clinic, but they had no idea what that would mean for the patients. We all really expected that I would hand out juice and bring people ice packs. On my first day, it became obvious this experience, or experiment, would require me to delve deeper into my thoughts on divinity, on peace, and universal love. On my first day, I passed the chain of protesters who were chasing me down and yelling at me with their messages of murder and damnation. Next, I was oriented for several hours with the security team. On that first day, I was shadowing a seasoned, brilliant nurse practitioner when another one of the medical techs came up to us and asked the nurse to come look at an ultrasound. The patient thought she was 6 to 8 weeks pregnant, but her ultrasound had her measuring over 24 weeks. The nurse gathered about a 3-inch stack of papers before going into the room. She had brochures for every government health program, resources for adoption, nutrition, foster care. I mean, you name it. If there was a way or a nonprofit or anything to help her, she had a brochure. She hadn't even met the person yet. She knew to go get these things. And she also had brochures from the just 3 clinics in this country that perform late-term abortions. Soon after we get in the room, the Doppler is put on the patient's stomach and a baby rolls over on the screen, looks at me, and waves. I am flooded with questions and, frankly, judgment. Thankfully, I say nothing. What do I know? I listen. I hold the box of Kleenex while this young woman tearfully cries, telling us a horrendous story. I've got goosebumps just telling you, of physical and emotional abuse, of health disparities, of so much pain. In that moment, I realize I know nothing. I know nothing about the stories of the people who face these decisions. Reading about them is one thing. Sitting next to them, smelling them, feeling their energy, that's completely different. All I thought I understood about reproductive justice, little tag word to grab there, and women's health became superficial. If I wanted to really act in empathy, I was going to need to delve a lot deeper into all the layers that make up these hot topics, these issues of controversy in our world. As I look at the scars our society inflicts on people facing all kinds of hard decisions, including coming to that health center, I wondered, what else do I think I understand that I think I've educated myself on that I really have no concept of all the intricacy? I have spent this last year examining how I go about understanding the people impacted by the issues I say I stand for. I really thought I understood the myriad of issues Planned Parenthood stood for. I had many interviews where I had to prove that I would be a safe person to be there. I had a very simple formula in my head: more birth control access, less unplanned pregnancies, less abortion. Good. Done. Thank you for your progressive vote. While that is all true, it doesn't help when talking to someone who might not agree with me. How do we bridge that road to peace? We can't pave the road to justice in facts. We have to go deeper. I want to teach you this morning that if we really, really want to have a peaceful world, we have to dive into our discomfort. So often, as a progressive faith community, we think we can ply someone with data and they will change their mind. Tell them more and they will think like us. But study after study, book after book, proves that is not true at all, is it? It is hard to love people when we do not know their struggle, just like the first reading talks about. And how do we know someone else's struggle, especially if for those of us who have had every comfort and basic need met, and if our ancestors also have had all their civil rights affirmed? I am not saying that none of us have had pain. We all have pain and suffering. We all have issues. I am asking us to think in the cosmos, into our ancestors, and ask ourselves, how do we as a faith community affirm every person's inherent worth and dignity? We know this is not simple. We so desperately want to fact things away. We will ply those whom we disagree with more evidence, right? Who's done that? I have. My ego, our ego, thinks that we will make them think like us if only they knew one more thing, one more statistic. But they do not. When it comes to issues that really matter, whatever those issues are, will we all have the ability to plan how many children we have or do not? Do we all have access to safe medical procedures and think that everyone should? Is it safe to drink our water and shower in our water from the tap? Will our children be assaulted or worse at school? These issues are gigantic. They deserve more attention than a simple, I am for that issue or I am against it. If we want peace, if we are called to follow the principles of our UU faith, then we are challenged to go deeper. Are we willing to go deeper? Are we prepared to confront what we do not know about? Will we challenge one another and support one another in doing that work here in this community? Are you ready to listen, even when it makes you uncomfortable? Is the promise of peace, of universal love, worth more investment in the real stories of the people impacted? We can do better than saying we are simply for or against the hot topics of our time. Today, being Volunteer Recognition Day, that space, that tenuous, messy space where we work together, where we listen to one another, where we forgive one another, that space is where peace occurs. It is a time when we go deep, much deeper into the understanding, into the controversy. That is where we can hope to find resurrection and ultimately peace. I spent most of my week at a Reverend Dr. Howard Thurman conference, and if you haven't encountered him, I encourage you to. And he said, hate begins with no contact. For you to go from your UU religion to relationship in the beloved community, we have to know the people who are living the issues we find controversial. By making ourselves vulnerable to the messiness of our neighbors, the messiness of our fellow congregants. And when I say messy, I mean all the love and all the problems and all the issues and all the history and all the ancestry. When we make ourselves vulnerable to our enemies, we make ourselves open to love. Peace cannot occur without us going deeper into the issues we disagree on and hearing the history, learning the complexity of the issues, and listening to how someone arrived at their decision. You might be thinking, because you look a little nervous right now, do I have to talk to people? Do I really have to put myself out there? You might even be thinking, do I have to volunteer? Before you say, I can't do that, or I don't have time, and you don't need to come up to me at the door and answer that question, you just need to ask this of yourself in a deep, quiet space. Consider for yourself, and you may have many great answers, but just consider for yourself, how are you living your UU values? How are you walking and swimming your faith? People who we imagine in our mind are but text on a page. People we sit with, on the other hand, people we listen to, people we can listen to without judgment, become not just an issue, but they become a face you will visit as you design your journey into your faith formation. You will think about those complex and lovely people. You can sit with people you might think of as wrong and hear their stories. Can you hear their fears and their love? Can you sing the same hymn as them in church together? I say yes. Yes, we can do this because we will do this work together. We can listen. We can listen to one another and we can change hearts. We can change laws. We can work together because then our spirits will grow and we will create peace. It's not going to be something that lands in front of us. Boom, peace. We create the peace. In fact, most often we feel the resurrection of love when we work together on a project with others. When we volunteer, we go deeper with people in our communities, all different communities. When we hear about how gun violence or partner abuse might be seen, how it feels, we might view that issue differently. When someone tells us about their struggles with accessing health care, having an unplanned pregnancy, the controversial issue lifts off the newspaper page and imprints on our heart. When we hear about the violence someone experienced at the hands of a loved one, it becomes easier to imagine how a myriad of issues became nearly impossible for them to face. When we incorporate our UU principles, we are called to go deeper. If we affirm the inherent worth and dignity of every person, if we are a people who honor justice, equity, and compassion in human relations, If we really are a faith with that goal of world community, with peace, liberty, and justice for all, then we are called to create peace in our world. Thurman says every man, every person wants to be cared for, to be sustained by the assurance of the watchful and thoughtful attention of others. Such is the meaning of love. If our UU principles and the late, great Reverend Dr. Howard Thurman are telling us we are all sustained by love, we must honor justice. It is kind to delineate. Is it kind to delineate our most important values down to for or against? Don't we owe it to ourselves to see the faces of those whose values our principles are impacting? To be able to share more than a few facts or sound bites, a few clever partisan slogans. If all I had told you was there was a person at Planned Parenthood seeking an abortion who is more than 6 months pregnant that came in for a counseling appointment. If you, like me, might have had a variety of judgments about that person. It is in the listening that we would learn that there are lots of reasons that person thought they were being responsible, thought they were caring for themselves to the best of their ability. And in talking with them, we learn about the dozens of ways our society has not served that person and whose problems extend far beyond that of pregnancy. We will learn about the issues around education and health care and even the impenetrable abuse prevalent in their lives. And our hearts might also break for the injustice of the whole situation. Now imagine if we applied this way of knowing, this way of listening, and swimming deeper into what we know about all the hot, controversial subjects that are impacting our lives and our neighbors' lives. Imagine what would happen if each of us here dove deeper into our understanding of grave importance in our communities. Imagine if all of us holding one another in a love that deep. Think about the power of all of us listening, just listening without judgment. Imagine, please, the power of each of us in this church doing that. How would love grow? When we open our hearts and minds, this miracle, this resurrection will happen. And it is then that our hearts crack open and this peace flows in. May it be so.